Hello, everyone. How's it going? You're probably thinking I'm supposed to be Kathy, right? Kathy and I switched because she is going to be doing the coaching call tomorrow for Corinne. And so she suggested that maybe I could take, hi Trish, put the chat up here. I take this call. And then since she's coaching tomorrow, Kathy is, cause Corinne is headed out to Vegas. I know a lot of y'all know that we are headed to Vegas, for our team retreat. The rest of us, Corinne and Chris, are going tomorrow, but the rest of us are leaving on Thursday. So we're super, super excited about that. And yeah, so we're just finishing out our week and then we're going to take a little time off. But y'all will be well taken care of. We've got a few folks, you know, in the tribe who are looking out for everybody while we're gone. Yes, Denise. I actually went to Vegas about a year ago for my bachelorette party for the first time. So I am a sophomore in Vegas, as I like to say. So I've been there before and I've done it up for a weekend. And I tell you what, I didn't need to be there any longer than two nights because we did it upright, which was awesome. So much fun. I went with my three best friends. But you know, you don't need to be in Vegas for very long, or I don't, at least. So, okay, y'all. So we are going to coach. I've got Katie up first. Anybody else that wants to get in here, raise their hand, and let's do some coaching. I'm kind of in the groove because I've had, y'all know that we've kicked off our private coaching program for anybody who's interested in that. It's a three-month commitment. And it's on the website. You just go to pmptribe.com and go under Get Coached, and you will see it there. So we've got some, you know, we're onboarding a bunch of new clients, but we still have some room if anybody is interested in that. So I've had some coaching calls today, so I'm in the mood to coach. So, okay, so Katie and Myrna and anybody else who wants to get coached, raise your hand. All right, let's go, Katie.
Hello.
Hi. Let me ask you to start your video.
How do I do that?
So I can see you. There you are. Hi.
There are so many buttons to press.
This is the first time you've done this?
Yes. It's my first time.
Well, good. Well, you got it.
I'm an April baby, so I guess baby steps, really.
You're kind of a toddler at this point.
Yes, I'm a toddler. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like I'm not doing the plan and I'm just like, I'm not sticking to my plans. I'm not doing TDLs. And
why not?
From what I've like done, like from going back and doing my research, I'm not sticking to my plans. I think because I'm not making them realistic. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to come home and have two glasses of wine on my, you know, plan, but I'll have four. And then that leads to me eating a bag of chips.
Right.
And then I don't know why I don't do the TDLs. I think I probably don't do it because I just don't like writing it. And I know you're going to be like, don't you have a laptop?
But let's not even like worry about the TDLs at this point, because okay. I mean, TDLs aren't one of the four basics, right? Let's just focus on the four basics right now and focus on realistic planning. So why aren't you planning four glasses of wine when you end up drinking four glasses of wine?
Because I know the answer, because four glasses of wine isn't going to help me lose weight. Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think I realized this last week. I was on vacation, so I put on my plan like up to seven drinks, and you can have pretzels. with your wine. So, and I followed the every single plan. So I was like, that's what I'm not doing.
Yes. So how did that feel to follow those plans?
It felt really good to be like, okay, so I can make a plan and follow it, but, and I know we hate the buts, but yeah. I came back 2 pounds up, which isn't a big deal, but that shows that those weren't plans for losing weight.
For losing weight, right. And really the whole purpose of realistic planning, especially at first, the point is not, we're not talking about weight loss. Like we are, it's not about weight loss. It is about literally making a plan and following it. Just making a commitment to yourself and following through on the commitment. That is it. I mean, it's like that is the skill that has to come before the weight loss comes.
Okay.
And it's like, are you willing to, I mean, because, you know, we are not about like, I still see commercials where it's like, lose 40 pounds in a month or whatever. And it's, you know, and that is, so much of us have that diet mentality, right? And like we join and we want to have lost our weight, you know, yesterday. But we are different here, but we are different in a good way in that we want you to develop these skills so that you can, you know, lose weight the way you're going to live it. So you can go on vacation and plan as many drinks as you want and all this kind of stuff. And it's like that has to come before the weight loss comes. And I know so many of y'all are, you know, just impatient and, you know, want it now, but that's just not the way it works for long-term sustainable weight loss, you know? And I think all of us are here to lose it for the last time, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like you, I mean, and so I just see it as a practice in, I was coaching somebody earlier today about this is a practice in patience, you know, this is a practice in like doing something different, but, you know, and this is a practice in, you know, long-term benefit and not the short term, you know, just making, you know, choices in the impulsive in choices, you know, in the short term. So, yeah. So it's just like, that's where you are. Is realistic planning, like exactly what you're eating, exactly what you're drinking now, because when your brain starts to say, oh, wait a minute, she made a plan and she followed it today. That feels great. Let's keep doing that. You know, and then you can just gradually start to level up over time, but not too quickly because it's not like, oh, well, I planned 4 glasses and I followed it. So maybe I can, you know, just plan 2 glasses, you know, next tomorrow or whatever. And it's like, no, you've got to build small and level up slowly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So should I just go over like my last week's worth of data and be like, okay, well, when I was drinking, I had 4 glasses of wine and a, you know, a snack bag of chips and put that on.
Yeah. And also go back, I mean, go back and look at your data and like, okay, what days did I follow my plan and why? Right. I mean, really look and see like, okay, what was working for me this day? Because I mean, it's, you know, it's all about your thoughts, right? Like what happened that day? That, you know, what was I thinking that day and feeling that day that caused me to follow my plan? If you think about the model, I mean, you know, the A line is following your plan. And so just like what worked for me that day, that's what you can kind of ask yourself in, you know, in terms of the food you ate, in terms of the, I know that like when I have a bunch of food planned, you know, like prepped and planned, I'm going to eat on my plan because when I have a couple of options to choose from, that's going to work better for, you know, so it's just like you figure out what works best for you, but also what's realistic. Yeah. And so like when you followed your plan, what was working?
Okay.
But also, yeah, it's like when you didn't follow your plan, what, like you said, like, okay, it was the 4 glasses and then I had some food afterwards. So let's plan 4 glasses and some food afterwards.
Okay.
Because I am just all about following the plan right now. Whatever is on it, you know, I'm not about, you know, weight loss necessarily right now. I'm just about making commitments to myself and following it.
Okay. And that feels good actually to say like I'm committed to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we make commitments to other people all the time, right? To our kids, to our boss, to our husband, to somebody we don't even know. And then we make this plan and we don't keep it. You know, we don't keep promises and commitments to ourselves. And so we have to practice that first before we can move forward. But I also want you to go through, I was actually just looking at all the bonus courses yesterday. And, you know, we have a realistic planning. Every time we go like through realistic planning week, you know, with the newbies, we add, it's called deep dive realistic planning. It's down at the bottom left on the bonus courses. And so there's just a bunch of, you know, coaching calls that Corinne did where she like had people call in with their plans and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So look at, you know, you could just watch one of those calls, you know, but there's also, you know, there's obviously the No BS module on realistic planning. So just, you know, review some of that stuff and, you know, it just, sometimes it just takes a few times to kind of hear it and then, but then just keep doing it, right? Just keep, you know, every time you don't follow your plan, that's an opportunity to learn about realistic planning, you know, and like what is realistic for you.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I didn't, it was one of those things too. I didn't even realize that I wasn't making a realistic plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not like, you know, it's not, doesn't have to be like, it can just be like, oh yeah. Like it doesn't have to be beating yourself up. Like I'll never figure this out. You know, what's wrong with me? Right. It's just, yeah, it's just like, okay, that wasn't realistic. That's why it didn't work for me. There doesn't have to be any drama around it. And so, but it's, but that is accepting your reality, right? And being okay with where you are right now. That's what, you know, what this is all about is like just accepting where you are right now and loving yourself as you are right now and not trying to move to some totally unrealistic plan that you can't follow. I mean, I know I did that a million times when I started new diets, right? And it's like I crashed and burned about 3 days later. And so, yeah, because we want you to start with just accepting where you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I like to see that sigh. All right. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Good question. Talk to you later. All right. Bye. I need to make some notes here. I've got something I want to talk to y'all about in a minute. Okay. Linda, you'll be up next. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. All of my Marco Polo group, I just did a post and they are like, there's a coaching call right now and you need to get on it. So this is my first call actually.
Well, you are here. I'm telling you what, I hear that more and more where it's like, my Marco Polo group told me to get on here right now.
Yeah. It's kind of surreal. I mean, I have a business coach and I talk via Zoom to my business coach, but it's weird knowing that there's all these other people that are listening in.
Ah.
but anyways, so to piggyback on my Marco Polo group, probably about 10 minutes ago, I had some diarrhea of the mouth and I spilled everything to them, telling them how overwhelmed I am.
Okay.
I am overwhelmed by life in general. Life is always good, but I'm overwhelmed. My daughter had a kidney transplant, been in and out of the hospital. She's 15, has migraines constantly. So I live like from hour to hour. Is she going to be okay to go to school? Is she going to be okay to go to her tutor? My husband and I, we own our own business. That's just stressful enough because, you know, we're responsible for our own income. We're not getting a paycheck per se. I'm overwhelmed by the fact that I don't feel like I'm doing enough because, with all this PNP content, because there's so much content out there. It's like, I just don't even, I mean, I'm doing a 24-hour plan. I am assessing it. I'm doing one of those models, you know, but because of the ebbing and flowing of my life, it's like, okay, so if I overeat or eat off plan, chances are I don't have like 5 minutes to sit down and go through my feelings immediately and write them down or write them out. And then by the time I can, it's late at night. And I'm just like, well, I don't remember what I was feeling. So I've got that. I'm kind of feeling disenchanted maybe. I don't know. But because I've been doing really good with the 24-hour plans and everything. I'm a June baby, by the way.
Okay.
And my daughter was in the hospital twice in June, but I was still doing 24-hour plans, mm-hmm. and I've only lost 1.2 pounds. And I do feel that the mental weight is coming off, but it's so hard to stay in the game when you're not seeing the result on a measurable scale, which is the scale.
Well, but I mean, there's definitely other things that are measurable, right? I mean, you just said you've lost a lot of mental weight. You could make a list of how you have done that since you joined, right? You could track that. Yes.
Yes. I don't beat myself up anymore.
Right.
When I make a poor decision.
That's huge. Massive.
Yeah, that is huge. Yeah. Trying to think what else I've...
You had all this stuff happen in June, and you've still lost weight.
Yeah, I suppose, but I feel like, I don't know. I'm just so, I know it's the old fat, the diet mentality, but like every morning I'm on the scale. I'm just like, okay, I feel so much lighter and nothing. I've been at...
So what if you're supposed to feel lighter for a while before it reflects on the scale? Is that okay? Why are you in such a big hurry for this scale number to go down? Are you in?
No, I've got no set time frame or anything. I think it's just because it's possibly because this is something that I can control because so many factors in my life are out of control. So I'm just like, okay, I'm doing this right. I'm in control of this and I'm still not getting any.
But like I said, for you, it is like you are getting results in a lot of different ways, including, I mean, like you could even just say, you know, you've lost 1.2 pounds. Yes. But I mean, that you've been able to lose weight or, you know, even maintain your weight through all this stuff that's happening is huge, right? Because your body is going to lose weight and the number is going to go down when it's good and ready. So right. It's up to us we get to control our brain and what we think about what is happening, what's going on with us. And you can decide that. You know, you can decide whatever you want, and you can just decide that you are right where you need to be with all of this in terms of like, I was able to lose 1.2 pounds when all of this other stuff was going on. How amazing is that? I've really learned to manage my mind around all this stuff, but I want to talk to you more about the model and stuff in a minute with everything you talked about at the beginning. But yeah, I mean, like, for all of us, y'all, we have got to get in the practice of recognizing how far we have come.
Right.
Beyond the scale.
It wasn't until you just said that to me that, and thank you for pointing that out, because normally when we go through, because, you know, my daughter's condition is a roller coaster. In the past, when we've been in the hospital, I just eat for comfort. I'm going down the cafeteria and having Haagen-Dazs for dinner. And this time I was writing out 24-hour plan. I wasn't sticking to it 100%, but the good news is, I didn't put on like my hospital 5 pounds.
And that is because of you, and you were totally in control of that, right? You made choices. You made different choices than you did in the past.
Right.
I mean, you had total control of that,
right?
You know, because you thought something. So let's work that model. Hold on. Let me get my little board here. So.
Sorry, I'm in my car. I'm hiding.
Oh, that's all right. You've got a good signal, so that's good. A lot of times it's not a good signal in people's car, but yeah, at least you're not driving. That's
No. I don't like my daughter to overhear me talking about, I don't want her to think, I don't want to add any stress to her knowing that her condition, how it doesn't stress me out, but how I'm trying to manage it, I don't.
Right. And that was what I was going to say at the beginning, right? Like, I mean, your circumstance is that your daughter is in the hospital, right? Like, and she has a diagnosis of something or, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. And so what you've been doing is that you've been thinking and feeling something in between here that resulted in you making your plan and making your food choices. So how have you been thinking and feeling, and how is this different than other times in terms of, you said you would usually gain the hospital 5. Why didn't you gain the hospital 5 this time?
Well, I think I recognized that I had, that there was options that were available to me that weren't junky and, and I also recognized that I eat for comfort quite a bit. And,
So what did you think instead? Like, in the past you'd say, okay, this is my comfort and you would eat.
Right. I don't know that I consciously thought that, but I would just be like, ooh, this ice cream looks good. And I don't think it was a conscious decision, but this time I consciously was being more aware, and I was telling myself, because we live in California, so I don't know what it's like everywhere else, but everywhere the calories are posted on everything. I know we're not supposed to count calories, which I don't do anymore, but I'm like, okay, this is obviously a healthier option, a grilled chicken sandwich, as opposed to, this. So I was making when I was making my choices, I was trying to make better ones.
Why? Why were you wanting to make better choices?
For me, which is kind of crazy because I don't really make a lot about me.
So how was ding, this? Ding, ding. What'd you say?
I said, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Like, and you probably, even not even consciously, but you probably realize like, okay, if I take care of me, I can, take care of all this other stuff a lot better. Right?
I wasn't like, because my daughter, when she's in the hospital, she sleeps a lot. Mm-hmm. So like after I would eat, normally I'd fall asleep, but, I was a little bit less in a haze per se.
It's like when you're making choices that are better for you, you can show up for others in a better way.
It's a hard thing for moms in general. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very hard for me.
Why is it hard?
I don't know. Well, I do know. I shouldn't. I'm not supposed to say I don't know. Because she's my daughter and she's been through hell. And so she's my everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you want to show up for her, right?
Yeah. And I do like every day, all day. I totally do. Mm-hmm. I know I do. I mean, my husband tells me, but I don't know.
But that is,
I was going to say, always in the back of my head is the thought of, how long is she going to be here with me for? And, I feel like I'm always, even like in general, I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, her condition is stable. She's had a kidney transplant. She's stable, but she's got so many side effects from all of the meds. and the constant migraines, and it's just like, and then we have to do labs constantly, and every time we do labs, I hold my breath, waiting for the results, and I don't sleep the night before, and I'm on my stupid Kaiser app checking for results, because I feel like, you know, I live and breathe everything to do with her and her illness or illnesses.
So has that gotten better since you joined PNP and kind of started working on your thoughts? Doing the thought work?
No. No, it hasn't. And I think because I haven't, well, I don't know. Because whenever I don't even know that I know how to work on my thoughts. This is probably the most thought work I've done. Because, you know, when I have an overeat or something, I'm like, oh, okay, so I overate today because, you know, it looks good. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even know where to start, I guess, with the whole thought thing.
Okay, so let's start here with, you said, I mean, well, I want to finish out this model first. So okay. You said, like, I mean, basically what's the, you know, how this time has been different is that you've thought something like, I'm showing up for me, you know, I'm doing this for me. Mm-hmm. And probably after that, it's like, so I can be the best I can for her, right? And all that she's going through. Is that accurate? Is that your thought that led you to make your plan and make different choices at the hospital?
My thought was, if I'm being honest, my thought was, I really want to lose weight and I don't want to quit on something again.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm glad you corrected me, because.
And I'm tired of beating myself up over and over again and starting and stopping a diet. Yeah. And another thought I had was, you know, this is going to be, you know, this is life. This is my life. This is our life as a family. So, you know, I better, you know, that's not going to change. That part isn't going to change.
Yeah. So I just picked one of the thoughts.
Okay, I gave you a whole bunch, didn't I?
Because, yeah, you gave me a bunch. And I don't have enough room on this little board. But
sorry.
But I want you to go back and listen to this and list is all the thoughts that you had, right? It was like, I want to lose weight. I don't want to quit this time. This is, you know, this is our life and I'm in control of it and all this kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And I want you to write all that out. So, but the one I chose, I don't want to quit this time or I don't want to quit again. How does that feel? How does that thought feel when you think that, when you think, I don't want to quit again? How does it feel?
Don't want to quit again. I feel doubt.
Mm.
I feel doubt in myself.
Mm-hmm. But does that lead you to still make your plan and follow it? It's okay if you have some doubt, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with having some doubt.
Yeah. I still do it because it's, because, you know, it's easy, which is what I love. Because it's easy, you know, I feel, you know, it's like, it's easy. It's easy to do. So,
that's almost your intentional thought. I mean, it's easy. How does that feel when you think it's easy?
Well, that feels good. I feel like there's a, you know, I don't have this big, heavy weight loss weight sitting on my chest. Mm-hmm. So I like that. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm gonna log into an app every 2 seconds.
So you think, so what are you feeling that leads you to make your plan when you think it's easy? You feel confident?
I'm confident. Yeah, sorry, my phone thing keeps moving. Yeah, I'm confident. I'm confident that I could make a plan. Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna change this up, and this is for everybody to see about models, right? We're like erasing and scratching things out because there's nothing perfect about a model, right? And so we're changing this to
Sorry, everybody. I'm making everybody dizzy. My phone.
That's right. I'm writing.
Why I won't stay.
Okay. So this is your, we've got your intentional model here. But again, you had a bunch of thoughts that you talked about in this. And if any of her, I know some of your accountability buddies are on here, so they can take some notes for you about all these thoughts that you gave me. But one was, it's easy. So you feel confident. And so you make your plan. Because with everything that you have going on, it's great to have something easy, right? It's great to have a plan already that's already decided and made. You don't have to, in the hospital, you know what you're going to get, and you have time to focus on other things, right? You know, your food is already decided. And that's the beauty of the 24-hour plan, is that, you make all these decisions ahead of time and you get to actually live life and deal with what you need to deal with, and you're not constantly thinking about what you're going to eat.
Right. It definitely provides freedom.
Yes.
It provides like a little spot in my brain where that's now free to to be replaced with something else.
something else like what? Something else you need to maybe work on?
No, I'm saying something else that's going on in life, I guess.
Okay.
Probably researching something for my daughter online, or finding something else we can try, or,
Yeah.
I feel like I'm spinning a zillion plates.
And that's a thought, right? That's a thought that's not serving you right now. I'm spinning a zillion plates.
And I have been for many years.
How's that been working for you?
I don't know. Everybody's like, you're amazing. You're my hero. How do you do it all?
Look. But how are you really?
I'm okay. I've learned to live in the moment.
Yeah.
So I've learned, I'm definitely not a planner anymore because of our situation. I'm not really, but I'm making a food plan, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You kind of have to pick and choose like what you can control, right? And what you have, control over. And so, like you said, it gives you this freedom to say, okay, I have control over this. But, you always have control over your thoughts. And so like with the schedule and stuff, you can just decide to think, I'm going to live in the moment. Right. Mm-hmm. Because, I don't know what might happen. And as long as that is, feels okay to you and feels good to you, then, keep doing it.
Yeah. It's interesting because, my business coach has always always wanted me to time block.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's what they teach. And I'm just like, doesn't work for me. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Because then all I experience is failure because I'm not sticking to the schedule. And so, finally, I told them what I do do, which is I just make a list and I just try to check off as many things on the list that I can get done. And if I've gotten a few done, then the day's been a success.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, there you go. He's just like, I know that's what we teach. He said, but it's not a one size fits all kind of.
And here's the thing. And that's like, and basically we're teaching the time blocking and stuff, all that kind of stuff in the course next month. But it's not necessarily for everyone. And it's just like, y'all can decide whatever works for you. Is, as long as you like your reason for it, right? And as long as it's getting you the result that you want. Now, if what you're doing isn't working for you or isn't getting the result, that's when you want to examine it. But it's like, you don't ever have to change anything. You don't ever have to change anything because you can even just live life not getting any results, if you want to, right?
Right.
It's all up to you. But it's just, you do what works for you, and then, you know, everybody else is on their own, you know, everybody's on their own journey. They're making their own choices.
Right.
So, yeah. But it, I mean, it sounds like to me that, you know, you have some things that are working for you, but are there other things, you know, other things in your life that aren't working for you in terms of aren't getting you the results you want right now?
You don't mean regarding weight loss?
Well, anything really. I mean, you were talking about your, you know, when you're waiting for the results from your daughter's tests.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, I hate
like
that.
You're losing sleep and all that kind of stuff. Is that something that you want to change or not? I mean, you want to work on or not?
Yes. I feel like, yes. And the reason why I'm constantly waiting is because, so when you, okay, so my daughter had a kidney transplant, so she has to drink X amount of fluids per day. She's 4'10", she's very tiny. I can't get her to drink all day, every day. Every time I'm like, Gigi, drink, 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 drink. And I get this, I know, I hate water. And, you know, she's super emotional. Granted, she takes so many meds. She takes prednisone, you know. And I just, so the 24 hours leading up to her labs, I am like by her side, like practically force feeding her water because water makes her labs look good. Mm. So then when we get the labs, what do? If her labs aren't where they're supposed to be, first thing I say to my husband is, I didn't make her drink enough water.
Mm-hmm. So you make it about something about you and something that you did.
Right. Oh. But but she's 15. I can't, you know, I can't. The alternative is if she doesn't and her labs go high, then they check her in to do a biopsy, see if she's rejecting. And she knows this. She knows that. And she constantly say, you know, if I say, Gigi, you know what the alternative is? She's like, I know. I got to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And oh, she's so stubborn, which is fabulous because it helps her because she's got fight in her.
Yeah.
Which is what she needs. But it's just like this vicious cycle. Every damn day. Drink.
Okay. So let's say she's just going to keep, like, she doesn't want to drink all the water. So what?
So then I end up in the hospital with her.
Mm-hmm.
And it disrupts our lives. It's not that I wouldn't go with her. She's my child, but it disrupts our lives. You know,
what if you didn't see it as a disruption? What if you just saw it as she made choices? Those choices have consequences, and here we go. We're doing this. I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah. You want to coach her? No.
That's the thing, though, right? Like, I mean, she's 15. She's old enough now, right?
Oh, God. Well, she's going to be 16 in a month.
Okay. So even worse, right, in terms of, like, she is going to make her own choices, and she knows the consequences.
I know, but these consequences, I don't understand. Like, they're so brutal. The consequences are so awful for her. Why would she choose the latter?
Why? Okay, well, answer that. Why do you think she's choosing that? Does she think they're that brutal? Does she think they're that bad?
She hates being in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. So have you ever asked her why she doesn't drink all the water?
Oh, she says, you know, it makes my stomach hurt. I don't like the way water tastes. Mm-hmm. You know, she's got a zillion excuses. So sometimes I'm just like, you know what? And then give me the phone, because no phone until you drink 1 liter. And then, you know, and then she comes, I don't want to say unglued. She's got some emotional control issues. She gets super angry. And then I have to worry about, because in the past, she's gotten very, very angry. Mm-hmm. So I have to worry about that. So it's...
You're still doing the best you can, right?
Every minute.
Yeah.
Every second.
Yeah.
Every second.
How does that thought feel? I'm doing the best I can.
Makes me want to cry.
Why?
I don't know.
Do you think you could do better than you're doing right now? Doesn't sound like it to me.
No.
Sounds like you're doing everything you can do.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think I could do any better. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, maybe a little bit, but I'm human, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are some things I can do better, you know, like, I mean, I've tried every single tactic, like, you know, texting her, text me a pic of your water bottle, you know, are you at 16? You know, I've even gone so far as to offer her money.
Yeah.
You can get $20 a day if you drink she has to drink 2.5 liters of water every day. I'll give you $20 a day.
I'm doing the best I can, and I'm going to keep coming up with ideas, but I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to do the best I can to help her be healthy. But she makes her own choices in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not saying that's, you know, rainbows and daisies, right?
No, it's definitely not.
But it's like, I
feel like it's the one thing she can control.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much is out of her control. The labs are out of her control. All the meds are out of her control.
Yeah.
The migraines she gets from the meds are out of her control. Everything's out of her control other than this one piece,
mm-hmm.
which I get, but and I'm trying to control it
because I know
it's the one thing that she's, you know. And so now I'm trying to control it, and I feel like I'm a control freak.
Do you want to keep being a control freak?
I don't know. It doesn't really bother me.
Okay.
because I'm organized, I get stuff done. And I'm not a control freak where, like, I impose my control on, like, well, I don't know, maybe I'm not a control freak. I mean, I'm not like, you know, Steve, tonight we have pork chops and that's it,
yeah.
Or, you know, or no dinner. You know, I'm not like, you know, military.
But I think for you, I mean, a control freak tries to control all the outcomes, you know, of something. And it's like, in this case, you know, you can't control the outcome. She can't control the outcome. Right.
Right.
And so it's just like, you're making choices to do the best you can. She's making choices to have some kind of control in her life, which is like amazing that you have, you know, really realize that, right? I mean, mm-hmm. in terms of like, you have put yourself in her shoes and like ask yourself, you know, why would she do that? Because she wants some sort of control in her life. So it makes sense, right?
Right.
So
I wish she could find something else that she wanted to control.
Well, and maybe talk to her about that, right? But in the long run, she's going to do what she wants to do, and the outcomes are going to be what they're going to be. But always you can decide to think that you did the best you could as her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say to her that. Sometimes I'll say, like, I'll get like when I, you know, I'll be like, Gigi, I'm trying to do the best that I can. And then I try to make her feel guilty. I said, do you understand that? You mm-hmm. know, and then I like to, you know. And she's like, how come you're trying to make me feel guilty? She's very smart.
Yeah. And she probably, well, and you know, that you can't make her feel anything, right? That's her model. You know, if she feels guilty, that comes from her thoughts, not anything you've done. And she can't make you feel anything. You know, we're all in control of our feelings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I need a nap.
Okay. Well, I want you to go back and listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe even have your accountability partners go back and listen and take notes for you and really just think about, you know, how you want to move forward with this.
Yeah, this has been really, this has been great for me. Yeah. Thank you so very much.
Good. I'm glad that we took some time and just, you know,
yeah, sorry,
just kind of talk it out.
I took over the whole call.
No, no. We've got plenty of time. All right. Well, you take care and get back. Now that you've done this, you can do it again, right? Just get back on whenever you need to.
Yeah. No, I'm, you'll see me all the time now. No.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Take care. Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Got some ideas for getting more water in. All right. Who else wants to get coached? While I'm waiting for someone to raise their hand, I'm going to tell y'all about a question we had on the recovery worksheet. Sarah, I'll get to you in just a second. Someone had posted in the Facebook group, and then they also posted and asked coaches about this question. We get this question a lot. I think it's interesting because it's only in the recovery, the 2-minute recovery drill worksheet, but it is the question, what is one resistance thought that you had if you were white knuckling? And a lot of people don't understand that question or understand what that means. And basically white knuckling is like, if you think about white knuckles, right? Like when you're, you know, squeezing your hand really tight. This is resistance. So resistance and white knuckling are the same thing. So just, you know, that's what some people call it because you're like resisting the urge to overeat, right? And so that's the question we ask is what is it like, what were you thinking if you were resisting the urge? If you were trying to just kind of make it go away and things like that. And we talk way more in depth about this in the buffering and urges course. So resistance and white knuckling are the same. And so you answer this question if you were resisting, you know, the urge, as opposed to what we want you all to do with urges is allow it and dismiss it. And so there is in the notes to this call, I'm going to put in the no BS lesson. In taking control, there's a lesson called discomfort versus white knuckling. And I just listened to most of it right before this call. And it's a great call. I mean, the whole taking control module, y'all, is awesome. But that call talks about the difference where, you know, a lot of you all talk about resisting an urge, but that's not what we want y'all to do because resisting, again, is like this hard, right? It's like hard. Now, allowing an urge is hard too, but the difference is that when you allow an urge, it comes from a place of like, it's okay that this is hard. It's okay that I'm uncomfortable right now. Like I love myself enough to just allow this urge to be here and to have some discomfort and it's all okay. But the resistance is like, oh, it's this urge and it's so hard and I want it to go away and I hate it and all that kind of stuff. So allowing and dismissing is what we want you to do. And in the Buffering and Urges course, well, first of all, I want y'all to listen to that discomfort versus white knuckling lesson in OBS. And then if you go to the Buffering and Urges course, Corinne, I mean, I'm just like shouting this from the rooftop because I think this is some of the best work she's done. It talks about a 5-step process to allowing and dismissing urges. And counting down from 90 is part of that. But also there's all these other things that you do to, you know, to just process the urge as it's happening. Like, you know, not trying to like make it go away, not trying to even talk to it, not trying to do anything like that, but just like allowing it to be there. And all of that, and that is all about like self-love, right? When you are okay with whatever is happening to you right now, like when you have an urge and it's just like, oh, it's just an urge. You know, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a little uncomfortable, but it'll pass. It's all about that like compassionate, loving voice that comes in. So that's the question about the recovery worksheet. is when you are asked, what is one resistance thought if you were white knuckling? It's basically, if you were resisting the urge, what were you thinking? Sometimes you don't resist an urge at all, right? You just like go for the food, you know, immediately. So that's, you know, that's okay too, right? That's another way to learn. It's just like, no, I didn't even try to resist it. I just went for it. And so you know, you don't necessarily have to answer this question every time. Does that make sense? Okay. Is telling myself it's not on plan resisting? No, that's that can be a good thought for you. But again, that still doesn't mean it's going to be easy or, you know, comfortable, right? I mean, you can tell yourself whatever you want about it. But it's more about like what you're feeling. It's more about kind of, you know, that doesn't sound like a resistance thought to me. It's not on my plan. But it's, you know, everyone's individual in terms of like how they feel resistance, like what thoughts create resistance for them and what thoughts create allowing for them when it comes to an urge. Okay. All right, we got Gidget and then, Sarah was up first and then Gidget. So Sarah, you're first. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Sorry, this is my first time doing it. I had to allow a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're working. Good job.
Okay. I just started in June, mm-hmm. So very new. I was trying to resist doing the coaching as long as possible because I still haven't made it through all of No BS. I figured there's resources everywhere.
No, but no, come on in. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to finish No BS first for sure. So
yeah. So I really liked the one podcast that was on Happy People, where it was talking about how when something goes wrong, they see it as not a problem with themselves, but a problem with the process. And so I've used that, I'll say for good in that, I wasn't sticking to the 24-hour plan. So I tried to think of, or not, I wasn't doing them. And then I finally realized like I just carrying around the binder was cumbersome. And I started doing it on my iPad and I've been doing them like, I've had like 14 in a row now.
That's a great example of that for sure.
Yeah. So, but then I also turn this on in evil ways.
Okay.
Like if I am having an off plan eat, I'm like, I'm going to have to do the recovery worksheet. So let's throw in a Pepsi and a piece of chocolate and just get it down to one recovery worksheet. So I guess I just need help with like bullshit around that, where I'm trying to also make it easier to do the wrong thing. I don't even know what I need help with at that point.
Well, I mean, you've got the awareness, right? Like you're onto yourself where like, you know that you're throwing up this bullshit, you know, that just like these justifications for losing weight. And actually, speaking of justification, so are you into module 5 yet?
Is that future self? Which one?
That's taking control. That's the last
one. I think I've started taking control.
Okay. So there is this lesson in there called excuses and justifications. And it is one of the best. It is, you know, you can even jump ahead if you want to and just, you know, you won't miss anything. But yeah, so that is really what's happening, right? I mean, you're like, your brain is looking for an excuse. Like you've got the plan in place, you're doing your recovery worksheets, but your brain is just like trying to get around, you know, like all this process to still overeat because your brain just still wants to overeat. And so that's totally normal, right? It's used to overeating. It's, you know, you've done it for a long time. And so the first thing is just like the awareness and then being okay that it's like totally normal. It doesn't mean anything is wrong or bad about you and that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, it's just like, and I think for you, it's kind of just thinking like, no, that's bullshit. I mean, just calling yourself out every time. And you could even like do something. This just popped in my head where it's like, okay, well, for every, okay, brain, if you want to go there, then for every single thing you eat, you have to do an individual recovery worksheet, you know, for each food or something like that, right? It's like, you can kind of get creative. I mean, you got to get creative with your brain sometimes, but if just like, I mean, you're halfway there because you're just onto yourself and you know that, you know, it's bullshit. And yeah. It's just a matter of like, you know, when you hear those thoughts come in, it's like, no, that's a bullshit excuse. That's not going to get me to my goals. And I mean, and then you have to sit with some discomfort, right? I mean, just allow some discomfort to come in and be like, no, I'm not doing this. You know, I'm doing something different this time. I'm, you know, I may have overeaten already. I mean, and that's, you know, and that's kind of the binge mentality where it's like, oh, well, I've overeaten already. Might as well, you know, just do it up, right? And, you know, so it's a very common, you know, it's this kind of black and white, like if I've already messed up, I might as well just really mess up. And when you can actually stop and say, no, I'm going to stop here and, you know, and learn from this, but eating more is not going to get me to my goals, you know, just really come up with some good power thoughts during that time. And like, I'm going to, you know, I have the power to stop. I am always in control. But this, you know, this unconscious or, you know, pesky brain back here is not in charge. And so it's just a matter of practicing that. But you've, you know, you've got the awareness and that's the key first step. But you also don't want to like be beating yourself up in the process where, you know, like, when will this ever stop? You know, when is this, I'm so tired of this. And it's like, it may never stop. And that's totally okay because you're always in control and you know what you need to do.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I didn't even think about it as being the same as a binge, basically. Yeah. That same mentality of like, oh yeah, this is just like that mentality, only now I'm doing it with worksheets. Of like, well,
yeah,
I just do the worksheet. I might as well make the worksheet worth it.
Right. Exactly. Like, I mean, and if I was Corinne, she'd be like, do not bastardize my worksheet, you know, like be pissed, you know, like, I mean, think about her, right? Like, I don't want to, I don't want to make her mad. So, I mean, not that you can make her mad, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, this tool is there. It's a tool. It's not something to use against yourself. And again, it's just our brains get real creative when they want to do something that they want to do, you know, what do they it wants to do. And so it's just like, it's totally normal, you know, and it's, and your brain is probably going to get even more creative, you know, as you go.
Right.
Like when
that's what I'm like trying to get ahead of it. Cause I'm like, I know it's coming where there's going to be further down the line, I'm going to be doing something else. And my brain's going to come up with another way to kind of get around
it. And for you, it's like, well, of course it is. That's the way it's designed. You know, like no big deal. I can handle it. I'll come up with another, you know, I'll come up with a solution at that point, but I'm not going to worry about that now. Right. Because I think, you know, I hear in you kind of like, you think that you're going to get to a point where it's just all going to be easy and you're, and those thoughts aren't going to come in, but that's not, I mean, you know, I'm years out and I still, you know, it's like our brains are, they just don't give up. They want to, to go back to old habits. And so, but, you know, but I say that in a way, like, it's not like we have this journey, you know, this hard journey ahead of us. It's like, no, we can handle it. Yeah. You know, we can do it. And it's like, yeah, it's probably going to throw up something else and I'll be ready. You know, I'll be ready when it comes up.
Yeah. So I'll just make myself, I'm just thinking about today. I have to do a recovery sheet and I'm like, oh man, now I have to do it for two things.
Yeah.
Two different recovery sheets.
Two different recovery worksheets. Yeah.
That's perfect because that's the feeling I want. It's like, I don't want to do this because then it creates more work.
Yes. Yes. And then it also, you know, slows down your weight loss, right? And that's ultimately, you know, what we're trying to do around here. So, yeah. So, okay. This is a really good question.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay, that was Sarah. Now we've got a Ross says she did 5 in a day. Yep, those recovery worksheets are the key to weight loss. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Is your name really Gidget?
It is.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. What's up?
I think. Well, I've been definitely encouraged by my Marco Polo buddy that I should get on a coaching call because I always spew everything out to her, but I seem to be resistant to getting help. So she's like, she challenged me today. She's like, I challenge you to get on the coaching call tonight. So I listened, I tried to get up my, you know, my gumption and decided I was going to get on. So I am feeling a little bit frustrated. I've lost a total of 56 pounds since February. I started listening to the podcast in February, joined in April. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not frustrated with the results. I'm happy with that. But this month, particularly, I seem resistant to everything. And I don't understand like where my resistance is coming from, because I still want to lose. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'm resisting. My biggest resistance is making weekend plans. Like, for some reason, I just don't ever make a plan for the weekend. Mm-hmm. And
in the past, you had been, like, you'd been all in on weekend planning.
Right. Yeah. So, well, I mean, weekend planning has always been a little bit loose, but mm-hmm. in the past, it didn't affect the number on the scale, where this month, I've lost and gained the same 6 pounds. So I'm literally a pound above where I was July 1.
So if you had to guess, why do you think this is? Why do you think this has been happening this month?
I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. that's part of like why I think like, oh, maybe I need coaching, because mm-hmm. I'm so resistant to like, I feel like I have to have it all together. Like, mm-hmm. like why, you know, like I should absolutely just have it all figured out by now. You know, I've been doing it since February. Why don't I have it all figured out? Where's
okay,
that?
Okay, like, there we go.
You know, like the phases that we're taught that, you know, like in that you learn where you, the shit hits the fan and then you hit that comfort zone. And I want that comfort zone, like where it's just easy, mm-hmm. but it's just, sometimes it's just not.
Yeah. Are you all in on that? Are you all in on hard sometimes?
Well, I mean, I am okay with hard. I think that it just felt like it was so easy in the beginning. So mm-hmm. I just really want to keep it that way. Mm-hmm. And I don't like, I find myself blaming other things and I know it's not. I know it's really like, you know, little quits that I make on myself. You know?
What made it so easy at first?
I want to say that my motivation came from a medical diagnosis that scared me. Mm-hmm. So that made it easy. And as I've lost the weight and things have gotten better and I've gotten taken off of certain medications and things like that, I've allowed myself to, give myself wiggle room in certain mm-hmm. areas, like mm-hmm. an extra snack or not taking my walk or not committing to certain things. So like little tiny quits that have equaled this month's frustration because I keep losing and gaining the same.
I mean, and that is totally it, y'all. Like, and this is for everybody. Like, it literally takes one little quit, like one extra snack. And then your brain just starts to go, oh, wait a minute. Are we doing this again now? So we're not doing this plan anymore. You know, it's just like, it just takes one time and it can go. I mean, and the next thing you know, it's been a month, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it's important just to know that like, that's totally normal and it's okay. But you can also go the opposite way. Like you mm-hmm. can get back at it just as quickly as you got off of it. I mean, you can get back at it and, you know, have one day of following your plan and be like, oh my God, that felt great. And your brain's like, oh, we're back to planning again. Okay, here we go. You know?
Right.
And so it's important to know that like, it's just as easy to get back on plan as it is mm-hmm. to go off plan. Cause it's just one decision, right? It's like one decision at a time. That's what creates weight loss. And it's just a million decisions, you know, added up over time. And so I mean, Corinne says, you know, you're always just one decision away from you're right back at it. You know, you're just right back in the right direction. And so, but your brain is screaming at you like that couldn't possibly be enough. You know, you've got to go back through, you know, you've got to restart no BS before you can make, you know, make a plan and all that kind of stuff. Right. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. all it takes is just making that plan again or whatever it is. So
right.
You definitely got some thoughts that, well, you got some thoughts like, you know, it should be easier now, like, you know, but you're right in the middle of that stage two, that river of misery, where it's just mm-hmm. like nothing is, you know, nothing is exciting anymore. You don't have the, you know, the medical issue anymore to really kind of keep you going. And so mm-hmm. it's like, now, okay, what's it going to be now in terms of like your why? I mean, you've gotten right. off the medication, so what's your new why?
Right. I mean, I think overall, I still like, I think my why is just being actually able to do it, because I've lost weight in the past and haven't ever been able to keep it off. And mm-hmm. I really just want to do, I just know I am worth it and I can do it, mm-hmm. you know, that, and to keep it off, that's like the biggest piece for me. Right. So that's why, I think that's why this month has been so frustrating, because I've lost and gained the same 6 pounds mm-hmm. this month, you know, like some success when I was on plan, and then I give myself permission to go off plan and it kind of goes crazy. So it's mm-hmm. just, I don't know, I guess you're right. It's just about like making that decision to get right, mm-hmm. you know, like, but it doesn't like, I mean, should I go back through and do no BS again, or like start?
You lost 56 pounds. You know what to do.
I know. Okay.
Right? Nothing is confused. I mean, our brain wants to just be so confused, right? Like, I'm so confused about why I you know, have lost and gained these 6 pounds this month. No, nothing is confusing. You know, mm-hmm. it's very clear.
Right.
It's just the four basics. That's how you lost 56 pounds, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, no, because that's how your brain gets to just keep overeating, is just to keep being confused and not mm-hmm. know what to do. Well, you know what to do. You know what works. I mean, that's the good news, is that you know what you need to do to lose weight. You know how to lose weight mm-hmm. and you know what, you know how it works. And so it's just a matter of not listening to your brain when it says, you know, are you sure this is the right thing to do? Or maybe we need to go back through no BS. No, you just plow forward in terms of just right back at it where you were. And it's going to take a few days.
Okay.
You know, it's going to take, yeah. I mean, it might take, you know, a week or so, where it's, you have to, you know, just hear your brain saying, but I thought we were, you know, back to mm-hmm. overeating again. I thought we were doing this. I thought we were doing this. And that's right. where your why comes in. And I want right. you to write down as many whys as you can come up with, and as many compelling reasons. That's what we're talking about here.
Right. Yeah.
I am willing to listen to these thoughts and sit with my discomfort for, you know, as long as I need to, because I want to do that this time. I want to lose weight and keep it off this time, because, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, realistically, you could be on a path right now to getting back on that medication, right?
Right, right.
I mean, if you yeah. really want to like get real with yourself, it's like, right. you know, I mean, you could talk about that. You know, you could have one of those. Like, I don't want to get yeah. back on this medication again. I don't want to have these health mm-hmm. issues again.
Right. So are these things that I should be like thought downloading? Yes. Is that what I should be doing?
Like writing down as many compelling reasons, as many whys as you can. Like, okay, I'm getting back on plan, and it's, you know, and, you know, I know how to lose weight. You know, I know how to lose weight. Just all these thoughts. I'm getting back on plan. What am I going to tell myself when it gets, you know, when it gets hard, when it gets uncomfortable? Because I mean, right. that's, you can't bypass that.
Right.
You can just keep reminding yourself why you're choosing the discomfort in the moment
mm-hmm.
and why you're choosing, you know, to do hard things in the moment.
Okay.
And so, yeah. So like it's just like, you just need to define your new why.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. so you needed to, this month needed to happen. That's the mm-hmm. other thing, is realizing mm-hmm. that like this month was absolutely supposed to happen, because I mean, it doesn't sound like you've gained a bunch of weight, right? You just kind of
maintained right.
basically. You were supposed to have this month to realize, like, to find your new why.
Okay.
And so recognizing that and not beating yourself up over, you know, what's happened this month, and just saying, no, this was supposed to happen because I was, you know, this is my next thing to work on. This is my next part mm-hmm. of the journey, you know, however.
Okay. Yeah.
like nothing's gone wrong. This doesn't mean I'm going to gain all the weight back and all that, you know, it's just like, okay, this is my next thing to work on. And it's, you know, it's all okay.
Right.
Here we go. Let's do this.
Yeah. Just the next decision.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much. I don't think so. I think I kind of felt like swirly, like my brain gets swirly and I just don't know what to do. And
that's
I don't want to go the other way.
So. Yeah. That's that confusion. Like your brain doesn't want to make a decision because then it gets to keep, you know, it gets, you just get to keep overeating. And so like to stop the swirl, you just say four basics, here we go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to hear your brain, you know, argue with you, but it's like, nope, I know how to lose weight. I've lost all this weight already. Four basics.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It really is. It really can be that easy.
I know. And it worked.
It worked.
And, you know, as soon as I started giving myself permission to not follow the four basics, it was kind of.
It doesn't work anymore, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like now, you know, like you've proven to yourself that you can lose weight and then you can gain weight if you, mm-hmm. you know what you're doing. There's no mystery. There's nothing to figure out.
Right.
It's very clear. It's very clear what you need to do. And
okay.
But yeah, okay. Just come up with as many whys as you can.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Right. Thanks.
Bye. Okay. Let's see. Let's see. Anybody else want to get coached? I'll answer some questions here. Thank you, Christy Stewart. I do love this color. I have another dress this color too. Laurie Ann says, did I understand correctly on last Friday's podcast that Corinne has designed a new planner? Yes. If so, when will it be available? Let's see. Could I give y'all I don't think I have it here. I've got like a pile of stuff on the floor, but, I have seen the new planner. I haven't looked at everything, but it will be ready, I think, around September, like end of August, first of September, something like that, because they are being printed as we speak. And so, yes, they are going to be, they've been totally redesigned. I can tell y'all a couple things about it in terms of the planner pages are now all in one page, which I love, like the 24-hour plan and the assessment is all on one page. And so you write down like what you plan to eat and what you ate like right next to each other. So I love that. And then there's a whole bunch of questions at the bottom of each planner page that you answer each day. So it's just, Corinne kind of modeled it after Brendan Burchard's planner where he just asks, you know, you ask yourself a bunch of really powerful questions every day. And so, but I will tell you, there's still the Hello Scale, the monthly planner and the weekly planner, the monthly planning and maybe the weekly planning. There's more questions now, you know, it's really just kind of working on, you know, processing things and just asking yourself good questions and things like that. So, and then what else is different? Well, it is going to be spiral bound now instead of, pages instead of a binder, it's going to be spiral bound, but you'll also always be able to print it out on the website, which is what I like to do because I like to use the binder. So, I think I might do that unless, somebody wants to give me a spiral bound. I'll take it. It is just the 8.5 by 11 size right now. Sarah, but we are working on a smaller size as we speak. Kathy is working on that, I do believe. So we will keep y'all updated on that, on more of the purse size planner. I don't know the exact size it's going to be, but that's in the works as well. So we wanted to get this new redesigned planner in the bigger size done first, and then now we'll start working on the purse size planner. So. Okay, Andrea, we'll get you up. And anybody else? We got like another 45 minutes. Hello. Let me unmute you.
Hi. I wanted to make sure I gave everybody a chance to you know, some newcomers or anybody that hadn't gotten a chance. I've been trying to work a little bit more on the models, and I don't know how to, so I have the circumstance. My friend had a baby, and she said that she would invite me over, like, the day the baby was born, she sent me the pictures of the baby and, you know, announcing it. And she says, once all the family's done, you know, we would love to have you come over to see the baby. So,
okay. So that, like, you have, like, that is a fact, like you have proof in a text or whatever.
Yes. Okay. She's at the hospital and she said, you know, when all the family's done seeing the baby, you come over.
Okay.
Circumstance.
So that's a good circumstance because it's very factual. You know, you've got proof of it and all that kind of stuff. Okay.
Yeah. So the baby is a month and a half old and I know she doesn't have that much family. So, you know, my feelings are, well, my thoughts is, well, I guess, you know, she doesn't have that much family. You know,
well, has she not invited you over? Is that what you're saying?
Like, she never, like, contacted me.
Okay. She never contacted you after that. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's part of the circumstance. And, okay.
Yes. And, so my feelings is hurt.
Okay. What are you thinking? What's your thought though?
My thought is, you know, she doesn't like me or I'm not important or, you know, yeah. Like, she doesn't want me to come, you know, like, I'm not important, I think, is...
I'm not, okay. I was going to say, what's the real painful, like, what's really causing the pain?
Right. I think it's, you know, that I'm just not important.
Okay. You know? I'm not important. And so you feel hurt?
Yes.
Okay. What do you do or not do when you feel hurt?
Well, I'm like, I'm just not going to call her, you know, or I'm just, you know, I'm trying to change my thought around it, you know, but well, and I'm like, well, maybe I'll just mail her a card, you know, like, I don't want to be friends with her anymore, you know, kind of like distance myself from her.
So you're kind of, you're distancing yourself. You're kind of stewing about it. Like,
yeah.
like what should I do?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, should I just mail her a card or should I just, you know, send her a text? Hey, happy second month. Birthday.
Have you done any of that stuff?
No, because it's coming from a place of like not a good place. So I've been trying to really like, okay, you know, like come up with excuses, you know, why she hasn't, you know, contacted me. You know, it's a new baby, you know, she already has a toddler, but they're like, you know, in the Bahamas and the Keys and, you know, like, I don't know. I'm just... I don't know how to not make it about me.
Okay. So how can you not make it about you? Do you have
I'm trying to make it about her, you know, like what she's thought, you know, being a new mom, you know, like, okay, she's probably got her hands full. She has people coming from every direction. You know, having two kids, you know, two toddlers and a toddler and a newborn must be really exhausting. It must be really, you know, so I'm trying to make it, you know, all about that, you know, about, putting myself in her shoes as a new mom, but the feeling still just stays there, you know, and I don't know how, like, and I'm, even though I'm trying to change the thoughts, you know, the feelings are still there.
Yeah. Because you're still believing the old thought, right? You still believe that you, I mean, you know, you're almost just kind of like trying to replace this thought, like, you know, switch back and forth. And it's like, that's not really the way it works a lot of times, especially with something like this, where, you know, it's, you know, you're feeling pain because of it. And so I think first it's important to just have compassion for yourself that like, that this is what you're choosing, how you're choosing to feel right now, because you're choosing to feel it from a thought that you're having. Right.
Right.
So it's just kind of owning your, you know, owning your pain, just owning that for a little while and being like, okay, I feel hurt right now just because I'm thinking that I'm not important to her.
Right.
And that's, you know, and that's just what I'm choosing right now. And that's okay.
Okay.
Because it's like, you don't want there to just be resistance to like the pain and all of that, and you know, and beating yourself up for, because you
feeling
know
the way I feel.
Yeah, for feeling the way you like, you want to own the way you feel now.
Okay,
for sure. That's
kind I think of, that's what I was trying to do, is kind of like dirges, right? So yeah. Instead of, you have to kind of sit with the feeling and then, and then it will go away.
Yeah. I mean, like, and just knowing that, like, there's no right or wrong decision to make, you know, there's no right, like I love her and I keep thinking, you know, or she's my friend or whatever. And I keep thinking this and yeah, that hurts. And, you know, that's interesting, you know, just kind of seeing it with like this kind of curiosity and be like, okay. And, you know, and seeing the model. So I wrote down the model in terms of just like, I know there's a glare. So this was your friend, right? And so I said, friend said, you know, what you said, right. Didn't write it all out. And then I'm not important to her. You feel hurt. And so you're distancing yourself. You're, stewing about what to do. You're questioning kind of about what to do. And so, yeah, it's like, and so then your result is that, you know, you're not a lot of fun to be around, right? When you're like that. And right. So like, you know, why would she want to be around you? Kind of, right. You know, it's like, you're kind of not fun to be around. So
okay,
you're kind of proving your thought true that like, oh, I'm not good enough to, you know, to be with her. I'm not, you know, she doesn't like me. It's almost like you don't like yourself,
right.
You know,
right.
In the process. So
that's, right. So that's what I didn't know what to do with the feeling. I had to change yeah. it. I'm like, I kind of had the model. I didn't know what the result was. But then I, like I said, I didn't know how to, like, I did the model and I did the TDL and then it's like, I still feel the same way. And I didn't yeah. know, but I think it was because I was resisting, yeah. you know, resisting it instead of, you know, I'm coming yeah. to August, the transformation.
Yes.
And I've been doing the homework of the feeling thing. And, that's another thing that I'm like really struggling with is like, you know, I feel like 98% of the time I'm content, you know, and it's like, I don't have too many feelings, you know? Yeah.
So when you do, it's like a big deal to you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And the only time I feel like when I'm not content is like something happens. Like, you know, I walked in yesterday, my 14-year-old didn't make his bed like I had asked him to. And I thought he did. That was like when I could actually feel what I was feeling and like, you know, but other than that, like 98% of the time, you know, I'm pretty content, peaceful, thankful, you know.
But it's almost like, so you're talking about the exercise, like where you actually like create a feeling, right?
Well, you had to kind of, it was a worksheet that we yeah. had to kind of like, you know, we had to write 5 feelings that we feel. I mean, I really don't like, I have like content and whatever happens.
Right. You know? But that's interesting, right? Because like I said, so when you do get a feeling and it kind of comes out of the blue with something that happens, then you're not prepared for it. Right. I mean,
right,
you're exactly. not. And so like, that's such good awareness to have where it's like, well, maybe I need to start feeling more, you know, practicing feeling more and things like yeah. that, because then, you know, like when something comes up, you're not caught off guard and you know that you can handle any feeling.
Right.
You know, you can handle this pain. You can handle anything. Right. Because feelings are just, you know, vibrations in your body and they exactly. are from your thoughts and all that kind
and
of
I
stuff.
And I think that was the thing though. I think that, just like the model, I didn't know what to do. It was like, I can feel the feeling like, you know, I'm an April baby and I haven't lost any weight, but like, I feel like I've matured a lot, you know, mentally. And I'm just like mind blown that how much control and power and the feelings are just thoughts, you know, like I'm all over that, you know, so I've grown a lot, you know, the scale hasn't moved but you know, how much I've grown, and how much I'm in control and aware and all those things, you know, as I was doing the model though, like I didn't know, you know, I think even with like when things pop up, a feeling pops up, I didn't know what to do with it. Like, you know, and I know like my mentor has been absolutely wonderful, you know, she's like, just feel the feelings, you know, like there's been a couple times that I'm just like, you know, I'm bawling or whatever. And she's just like, you know, just feel the feelings. And that's all I have to do with it.
Right.
You know?
And that's actually like kind of, so like you got this model, right? And like the intentional model, this is exactly what you're saying. The intentional model for you right now may just be to like, you know, just take the A and the R out, you know, delete the A and the R. Well, let me just write it down. And like the A is just feel the pain.
Okay.
You know, it's like, we're not, you know, you don't want to be in a huge hurry. You can't be in a huge hurry.
Right.
To go to some, you know, new feeling. And right. So it's just like, feel the pain.
Well, because the way I think is like, well, if feeling is just a thought, then if I change my thought, I'll change my feeling.
Right. So but like, sometimes you're just, you know, you're just not quite ready to do that yet. You know, you're just not, like, you still are really caught up in your story about what she's thinking about you and stuff.
Okay.
You know, I mean.
So I guess that's where I was confused. I'm like, if I change my thought, then I'll change the feeling. And
that's true, but you have to believe the thought, you know, to change the feeling. And if you still believe, oh, she thinks I'm not important, you know, she thinks, I mean, and that's where kind of, we call it mental rehearsal. Like that's when you start practicing a new thought, but again, you have to practice it. And so you don't necessarily get that different feeling right away. So this is kind of your next model, I think, with this is like, this is kind of your new intentional model where it's like same circumstance, same thought, same feeling.
Okay.
But your action is just like, you feel the pain, you know, you just practice feeling like, and you just practice that awareness, like, okay, this pain is coming from a thought I'm having, not anything that my friend said or did to me. It's just all my choice. I'm in control. I'm owning my thoughts and feelings. And then, you know, and so, and that's your result. You're just like owning your experience in your life, right? And it's almost like that is like a required step before you can move to, you know, to really
change. Kind of like an acceptance type.
Yes, total acceptance. And that's, it's like, that's a required step before you can move. You know, you can't just switch these thoughts, because if you still believe the old one in your core, if you're still, you know, stuck in your story, then a new thought just is not gonna stick.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And so, but then like after you kind of just live in this model for a while, you can say, okay, this pain, you know, I think, you know, this pain is for the birds, you know, or you can just kind of say, you know, like, okay,
yeah,
if I didn't feel pain, I mean, it's still, it's like, it's not resistance to it. It's just like, right. I think I might be done, you know, might be.
Well, and that's what I keep telling myself. I'm like, this thought is just not serving me, you know, it's like.
And that's kind of what you like, okay, so I'm ready to move forward. What could I think, you know, same circumstance, right? Nothing changes. Nothing has to change with her in terms of like, if she never contacts you again, you know, the circumstance never has to change for you to feel differently. Right. And you can just,
but what should I do?
So, well, I mean, you can just,
sit until this feeling thing resolves, or,
well, I mean, that's where I want you to be right now, is just accept where you are right now. But like I said, eventually you could start to say, I wonder like what else I might, you know, if I don't want to feel this pain anymore, if I'm kind of done with the pain, then how else could I think about this situation? You know, and you gave me some thoughts already, like she's got a new baby. She's, you know, it's like, I don't, you know, and it could just be like, I love her no matter what, you know, it doesn't even have to be like big reasons, because you don't know, you may never know. And that's okay. It's like, you don't ever have to know why, because you can just say, you know what, she's my friend and I love her no matter what. But, you know, you can just, you can think whatever you want to think, and then you can decide to, and then, but you may want to start with the feeling, like, how do I want to feel about her, you know, in this situation, instead of pain and hurt, you know, I want to feel love for her. I want to feel compassion. I want to feel, you know, connection or whatever it is.
Right.
And then that might lead you to an action like reaching out or not. But because somebody said, you know, someone said, I would reach out to my friend. And it's like, yes, that's an option.
Right.
But it has to come from a thought and a feeling.
Right. And that's why, like, I haven't reached out because I felt like it wasn't, I'm wasn't still hurt.
From, yeah.
And I,
it wasn't like, from that place.
Right. And I, you know, I wanted to be, if I sent her the gift or sent her the card, I wanted to be from a place of love, not a place of hurt.
And exactly.
So I haven't taken any action, you know, and meanwhile, the baby's going to be 2 months, you know, and I'm just like, all right.
But just take your time. Yeah. Just take your time in terms of just like, it's a process. It's a process to just accept where you are and then to move forward. So you're doing great.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. I'll see you soon. Like next week.
I know.
Oh, it's crazy. All right.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Okay, Ellen. Hello.
Am I on?
Yes. Can you turn me?
Oh, sorry.
There you are.
I'm a little nervous. I never was coached before, and I just did this kind of on a whim.
Awesome. I love it. It's like all these newbies tonight. So this is fun.
So I'm a June baby, and I feel like I've been doing well. I make a 24-hour plan every day and assess it, and I've been doing recovery worksheets. I've lost almost 10 pounds.
Awesome.
And so I feel good, and I feel like today I was feeling really good. I went for a walk, listened to Corinne coaching, listened in the car. I was feeling really good, and then I had an eating binge just now, and I felt like it really just snuck up on me. I know I've listened before where people say, or if you decide to have a binge or if you know you're going to binge, and I almost feel like I don't know when it's happening. It's like one little thing leads to another little thing to another.
Exactly now, what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm feeling so bummed. Like, I know it's not true, but I'm feeling like, oh, I'm back to square one.
Yeah. Oh, that's well, now that's a terrible thought.
I know. And I know it's not true either.
Yes. Yes. So that, I mean, that's a poison thought, right? No, right. It's just like you, I mean, have you done your recovery worksheet yet?
No, but I am going to.
Okay. So you do that right after this, but yeah, it's, but also the thought like, I was doing so well, or like it came out of nowhere or something like that. That doesn't, you know, those don't really serve you either, because that it's like you're taking the control away from yourself. Right.
Okay. I mean,
like you didn't have control, but here's, I mean, and that's the whole point of the recovery worksheet, is kind of to take back control and to realize that, yeah, it probably was just like one little bitty harmless, you thought it was a harmless thought that started it. So what do you think it might have been?
I can tell it was just, I had a plan, and this morning I was making my son breakfast, and I figured, oh, it'd be easier to just finish his oatmeal than make the breakfast that I planned. Sure. And that won't hurt anything. Yeah. And then I think I was upset because I went over, my dad fell yesterday and broke a rib. He's older. And I went to see my mom and dad, and I had a plan, but I just felt like I couldn't think about it. And so I was just eating potato chips there. And then I came home and I had a plan for dinner. I really wasn't hungry, and I started eating, and
it probably
felt like one thing led to another. Yeah.
And that's what we call, that's actually called behavior chain analysis. There's like a fancy name for that, where it's like one thought leads to another thought, leads to another thought, you know, and eventually leads to the binge. And it's basically like you thought, well, I might as well just finish the oatmeal. And then like, oh, I'm stressed because of what's going on with my dad. And then it may have been something like, well, I've been off plan all day anyway.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, it's totally like, and so, and then what, now that you've explained it all, like it didn't come out of nowhere, right? I mean, it was a process, but you just had, that's the whole point of the recovery worksheet, is to bring all of that into consciousness and into awareness. Because our brain doesn't want to think about how all this, it just wants to be so confused. It wants to stay in confusion, right, about what, how this could have happened. But when you do that recovery worksheet, or you talk it through with, you know, with a coach or whatever, you realize, oh, well, I did this, and then I did this, and then I did this, and it becomes very clear. But then, so you have that awareness, but then, like I heard you at the beginning, you know, you're mad or you're upset that you, you know, and so you get the beat down starts, right? Yeah. And that's what you've got to work on now in terms of, no, this binge, like, I see, I mean, I'm working on this too, right along with y'all, but like, I am learning to see a binge as, every binge as a gift, believe it or not. I know that's, that sounds kind of crazy, but like, what if, and actually there's a, I got to take notes because there's an awesome video that Corinne did on this. And it's called her rant section. I'll do the link.
Yeah.
But it's called What If Binges Don't Have to Stop? That's what it's called.
I've heard it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I listened to it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, watch it again. Cause I watched it again for the other day and I was like, oh my God, this is so good. And it's basically like, what if each one of them was a, you know, a lesson in, you know, loving yourself and learning from it and moving forward. And not just being like, I can never do this again, because that's where the self-judgment comes in. That's where the beating yourself up comes in. Like, I'll never figure this out. You know, but what if like, this is just something I did every once in a while and it's okay. And I learn from it and I move forward.
Yes. I feel like I see a cycle where mm-hmm. I was starting to feel really good. I was mm-hmm. actually, I feel like the pieces are starting to come together. I was almost looking forward to the weigh-in Friday, like mm-hmm. making good progress. And I feel like whenever I get to that point, then it's that self-sabotage. Mm-hmm. Or I get, I don't know if it's the word cocky, like, oh, this won't matter, that won't matter. Yeah.
And so you're aware of the cycle, right? You're onto yourself. And so it's like, you know, you hear that cockiness come in and you're like, nope, we, you know, I hear you, like, I'm onto you. And no, we're staying on plan, you know, and it's just, it's that doing something different, right? Because that's maybe something that you've never, you know, you may have always been in this kind of sabotage, you know, like success and then sabotage cycle. And that's yes. totally normal, totally okay. But it's like, okay, I've got to break this cycle, right? And so when I hear that come in and I hear the justifications and the excuses coming in to overeat because, oh, I did so well all week or, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, it's so stressful with whatever's going on. It's like, no, I've got to break this cycle and I've got to do something new and something different. And, you know, and then I can get different results. It's like an example that I was thinking of, like kind of about, you know, doing the same thing and then expecting different results. Like yeah. I've been falling asleep on the couch every night, just watching TV. And I decided one night I was not going to do that again. And mm-hmm. I got on the couch and I got under my blanket and we watched a show. Well, that's the same thing I've always done. Right. And mm-hmm. so I fell asleep again, you know, and it's like, why do I keep doing the same things and expecting a different result? And that's what this is. Like, you've got to do something different to, you know, to stick a stick in that wheel and just stop the cycle. And so, you know, it's not that it's not going to be uncomfortable. It's not that your brain is not going to, you know, your brain's going to scream at you and say, wait a minute, we're not used to doing something different. But you can absolutely do it. And you've already lost, you know, you've lost a lot of weight already. So it's just a matter, this is kind of your next thing to work on.
Is it kind of like, maybe I'm always going to have these binges and it's just, how do I deal with it?
Yeah. What if that's the case? What if that's true? You okay with that?
I want to not have it like that.
Yeah. Like when you go to, I mean, I've just so been there where it's like, okay, never binging again. Like, you know, like, okay, perfect from here on out. Now, does that ever work? No, you know, that never works, right? You've got to, again, do something different where it's like, what if this is just something that I do every once in a while? And that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because you've just got that judgment in there that binging, and you think that binging is bad.
I do.
And
I feel
what if
like
you,
horrible.
What if you thought of it as, neutral? Like, what if in the model, it was just in that circumstance line, like I ate this and this and this and this, and I'm going to decide that it is, okay, here's a, this is a learning opportunity. This is something I do every once in a while. It doesn't make me a horrible person. It may affect my weight loss. It may not. But I'm learning that, you know, that especially binging really has nothing to do with the food or the weight loss. It's about, you know, escaping your life. It's about, you know, not, it's about numbing out, right? It's about like just not feeling. Some people use food. Some people use alcohol. Some people use porn. You know, some people use. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, food is our kind of drug of choice, right? And yeah. It's like, so it's, you know, I'm not this horrible person. I just want to zone out sometimes and not feel stuff. And that's okay. But, you know.
So then how do you break it? You just do the recovery worksheet.
The recovery worksheet.
Go back to what I was doing.
And move forward.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, you know,
it's hard to get away from that all or nothing
thing. Yes.
I'm on plan. I'm doing everything. And then it's, I'm horrible. I'm doing nothing.
Right. And that has never worked for us, right?
No.
That's never worked. So we have to. You know, a big power thought for me when I was losing my weight is like, I'm just going to try something different this time. I'm just going to do something different because what I've been doing before hasn't worked. Mm-hmm. So being, you know, being a perfectionist, having black and white thinking, all of that has not worked because right. I've lost weight, but then I've gained it right back. Or I haven't lost weight because I could never do it perfectly.
I feel like I find it's a hard line between being kind to myself and being real with myself. Like, am I lying to myself or am I being kind?
That's interesting.
And I've even said to my, this is just admitting, sometimes I've said, I'm choosing to eat this and I'm choosing to do the recovery worksheet. But then I always feel bad after.
Well, you know, so that thought isn't working, right? Because if you really believe that you were choosing it and you were accepting the consequences and all of that, then you shouldn't feel bad afterwards, right? I mean, you know, it's like we want to own all of our choices, no matter what. Right. Like, and every choice, no matter what result it gets us, it's all on us.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like you might as well just say, you know, that thought isn't working for you, you know? Because if you still feel bad afterwards, then that's not really true. Like, you don't believe it.
Right.
You still believe that, like, you're somehow out of control or you can't, you know, figure this out or something like that. Because, you still feel bad afterwards.
Right.
So, it's like we want to own all of our choices. And no choices, here's the other thing, what if no choices are good or bad? What if no decisions are right or wrong? What if there are no good foods or bad foods? Mm-hmm. There's just choices.
Mm-hmm.
And they get us results we want or they get us results we don't want. But they're all just choices. You know, when that really hit, you know, kicked in for me, I was like, whoa. And so I don't have to judge myself for any choice I make. I can just like do what I want. But then, you know, those get me results, mm-hmm. you know, that I either want or don't want.
Mm-hmm.
But I always can do what I choose.
Yeah. So, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So do your recovery worksheet right now. And that's for everybody. Like, y'all have got to do these recovery worksheets as soon as you can after the overeat, because your brain, the more time you let pass, the more your brain's going to be like, oh, we don't need to do that. You know, like, oh, we'll just do it the next time. It starts to make every excuse in the book. And then it also doesn't want to like bring up the thoughts and stuff that were happening. You know, it wants to just move forward. And so you've really got to just, it's easier if you do it as soon as you can after it happens. And then you can really figure out what thoughts and feelings were going on there. What feelings you were trying to, you know, to cover up with the food or not feel and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then once you do it, do you feel like then just move on. But it's so hard to not say, to beat yourself up about it.
Well, hold on a minute.
Let me hold on. I need to do, I think.
Hold on, because it says
on the last question of the full-on recovery worksheet is, are you willing to let go of judgment and make your next best decision? I mean, there's a reason that's the last question in the worksheet.
Yeah.
Because that's what we want you to do. It's just like, okay, I did my work on this. I'm going to take what I learned. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to judge myself anymore. This was like, the binge was a gift. This worksheet is a gift. And I'm going to take the, you know, the gifts I've been given and move forward. Move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm going to do it right now.
All right. All right. Okay.
Good, thank you good so job. Much.
Okay, really, this was great.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Okay, looks like we got some questions. Yes, the planner is like 8.5 by 11 size, like regular paper size. Stacy, I'm really struggling with the thought of not admitting I'm at my plus two and not wanting to stop eating. Can you give me some ideas of how to handle these thoughts? Okay. So again, you're onto yourself, right? You know, it's just like, it's good. I don't want to stop, right? There's no mystery why you can't stop. You are deciding to think that, you know, I just don't want to stop. The food is good. And so that's your first step, is just kind of the awareness of what's going on. And then you want to go back to those compelling reasons about why you want to lose weight. I mean, why is it important for you to stop at your plus two? Because that's one of the four basics, right? And it's like, what is it going to take for you to sit with the discomfort of stopping at plus two and reminding yourself of your goals? I mean, there's definitely some hacks you can do and stuff in terms of like, you know, getting up right when you hit your plus two and putting your food away or throwing it out or whatever. But it's still going to be uncomfortable, right? There's no getting around the discomfort. So it's just, okay, am I willing to do this to get to my goals? And am I worth this? I love that work that we did last week with Gift of Fat, about like, why am I worth losing weight? I mean, y'all come up, y'all just keep that list going. Because, you know, when the food is good, and especially like y'all, when it is like healthy, when it is like a salad, you're like, oh my God, it's a salad. I mean, that happens to me like multiple times a week where I'm sitting with this salad and I'm like, dang it, I'm at my plus two. It's so good. But what helps me is like, I swear, like, it's so interesting what thoughts work sometimes. But sometimes I think, like, I can recreate this exact salad tomorrow if I want to. You know, I can always have another salad exactly like this tomorrow, and it will be just as good, or something like that, right? And I mean, and just the thought, like, more food is always available to me when I am hungry for it again. You know, this isn't the last time I'm going to have this meal. Because, I mean, our brain just conjures up so much drama about leaving this food behind, right? So really work on those thoughts. But then also just like, you know, do some hacks. Like if you're eating out, you can get the to-go box. Like, I mean, if you're taking it home, you can get the to-go box, you know, right when you have your meal. So you can box up half of it ahead of time. You can put your napkin over the plate when you're done, you know, when you reach your plus two. And so you're like, okay, I'm not going to, you know, lift up this napkin and eat more food. I mean, I've done that before, but it's like, you know, you're less likely to, right? I mean, there's all these little hacks you can do. You can, you know, put the plate away from your, you know, from in front of you at a restaurant or something. Some people like, when they reach their plus two, they just excuse themselves and go to the bathroom. And that's because all of this is just an urge. To go past your plus two, that's an urge, just like any other urge. And so it's like, you know, remove yourself physically from the situation. And that's where, you know, you have that 90 seconds to where, you know, the urge will eventually go away and that kind of stuff. So all that is in the Buffering and Urges course about how to allow an urge. But yeah, just try all these different things, like, you know, get up, dump it in the trash, whatever it is. But then you also have to have the thoughts there too, because there are going to be times when the food has to just sit there in front of you for a while, right? I mean, you can't always remove it. And so what are you going to think then? You're going to think, you know what? I can come back to this restaurant again, or I can make this food again. I can always have it tomorrow. But I've got goals and my body does not need any more fuel right now. I have fueled my body. I'm satisfied. So, Michelle, looking ahead. Oh, there are several questions. Okay. Looking ahead to the next month, I'm a manager from day to day. I don't know what is going to come up in a day. One day where I have more free time, is it okay to just block 6 to 12, 1 to 4, or do I need to work on drilling it down more? I really want to work on the habit challenge for Queen's Club. Yeah, I mean, you want to work on being as specific as you can with your time. I think you're talking about your time blocking, right? You want to work on being specific as you can. This is just like doing your 24-hour plan, right? Your food plan. You know, the more specific you can get, the better. And so the more kind of willy-nilly you are with your schedule, the more, you know, probably the less that you're going to get done. So, but Michelle, I mean, just start small, right? Just start, you're saying, is okay to just block 6 to 12 work and then 1 to 4 work. So I guess that's 6 a.m. to 12. Yeah, just start there. Just start there. But then as you go, try to get more and more specific as you can go in terms of like, I'm going to do this and this time and this and this time, and I'm committing to that. Because you say, I don't know what is going to come up in a day, but you have an idea of what might come up, right? I mean, there's always going to be some surprises and stuff. But the whole thing about this time blocking is committing, just like in your food plan, committing to saying what you're going to do. And all of this is contingent on like emergencies and things like that, right? But just practice doing it. And then at the end of the day, assess, just like you do your food plan, and say, okay, I followed this part of the schedule, but I didn't follow this part of the schedule. Why? What can I learn from that? And then you apply that to the next day's schedule. And then you just keep learning and, you know, figuring out what you can realistically block and what you can't. So just kind of just small steps at a time. Tammy, I know we aren't supposed to have manuals for others, but what do we do when someone like our husbands or significant others have one for us? You know, you become, you know, they probably do, right? They probably have expectations of us and we get to choose if we meet those expectations or not, right? They can have expectations all day long, just like we can have expectations of people all day long. But we all do what we choose to do, right? And so I think for, you know, like your husband, just talk to them and say, you know, I heard that, you know, I know about this concept called the manual. And like, I mean, have a conversation if you want to and say, you know, it's all about like, I expect you to do things, and when you don't do them, I feel disappointed. And so I'm working on like not having a manual for you. Do you have a manual for me? I'm just curious. You know, they might engage, they might not. But, you know, it's just like, you know, if they tell you, hey, I expect you to do that. And then you can just decide to think, well, that's his manual he has for me. Bless his heart. He doesn't know about this, all this thought work stuff, all this manual stuff. And, you know, and that's okay, right? But I'm still going to choose to do what I want to do. Because we all get to do what we want to do. We don't have to meet anyone else's expectations unless we just want to. Are we supposed to do a recovery worksheet if we start eating at 0 to +2? I would, Dinah. I think that would be good. Like, why are you not waiting till you get to negative two? You know, ask yourself that. You don't want to get into the habit, right, of eating when you're only at zero. So, yeah. I mean, it's not really, it's not an overeat necessarily, but it's, I mean, I would consider it off plan, because your plan is always to eat negative two to positive two, right? It's, you know, as much as you can. There are a few certain, you know, there are a few times when, you know, maybe you need to eat at zero when you don't have any other time to eat and stuff, but you still only eat to plus two, right? So yeah, just kind of be curious about, why am I deciding to eat at a zero? Yeah. Okay. So that's, Donna's been commenting on that. So yeah. And just like, and don't make it, here's the thing about the recovery worksheets, y'all. Don't make it like a bad thing that you have to do a recovery worksheet. I mean, you want to see it like, if you have to do a recovery worksheet, you want to be like, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to move on. But then you want it to become something where it's like, you know what? I know everything. I've learned everything from these recovery worksheets. I don't need to do another one again. You want to get so sick of writing the same thoughts and feelings and what you would do next time and all that kind of stuff. You want to get so sick of that where you're like, you know what? I'm just, this overeat is not worth me writing the same damn shit over and over again. So I'm just not going to overeat. It's funny how those recovery worksheets work like that, right? Where when you get tired of writing the same stuff over and over again, you don't overeat. Because you just know that you know why you're overeating. You know, eventually, y'all, everything just becomes very clear. There's just no mystery to it. It's like you either overeat or you don't. You know, asking why? Why does this keep happening? Why am I like this? Why can't I figure this out? None of those questions are helpful to you. It's like you just wanted to, you chose to overeat, so you did. You responded to an urge. That's what I love about that Buffering Urges course. It just drills down to the simplicity that you just are responding to an urge or you're not. And so quit trying to come up with like big, deep, dark secrets about why you're overeating, right? It's a habit. It's just a habit that's been reinforced. You have developed the habit of responding to an urge to eat with food over and over and over and over again for like your whole life, for like 40 years or whatever it is, right? So of course, that's what you're going to want to keep doing. So it's not a mystery. It's very clear. And then it's also clear what you need to do instead. Allow the urge, allow the discomfort, allow the, you know, the hard. That's the answer. Like, that's the mystery to the universe, right? Is discomfort, and it's doing something different and having some doubt mixed in and doing it anyway and all that kind of stuff, right? I mean, it's just like the other day it wasn't about overeating, but it was about like, Donna, this is about like following my schedule. Like I made out this schedule and I said, you know what? There is no mystery about why I'm not getting this done, this work done that I was working on. It's literally because, I mean, it's in my schedule, clear as day, but you get to that time on the schedule and you're like, well, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. Just like, well, I want to eat this. I don't want to follow my plan. It just becomes so clear that it's just a choice you make. It's just like all of this, y'all, is just about choices. And you make this choice or you make this choice. Not one good or bad, not one, you know, right or wrong. And when you can really get to that simple level, then you just have a choice to make, right? So, all right, that's all I got tonight. It is 8:00. I am ready to, let me make sure. Oh, okay. Donna, can you also provide me with some ideas for breaking a bad habit during lunchtime? Every time I have lunch, I'm noticing that after I've had my planned lunch, okay, so I just talked about all that, Donna, right? You know? Yeah, exactly. I didn't even see your question, and I was just reading it. Right. You got a choice to make. And you're used to eating your dessert. So what choice are you going to make tomorrow, right? Are you in for doing something different? Let's do it. You know, let's keep life interesting. Feel a little discomfort. Okay. All right, y'all. That's all I've got. Kathy will be doing the coaching call tomorrow. And then we'll be in Vegas for a few days. So for our team retreat. So, but again, y'all will be well taken care of while we are gone. And then there's no office hours on Saturday, which is why I did tonight. And then Kathy will be back at it next Tuesday. Okay. All right. Talk to y'all later. Bye.